this morning, you have weapons. And you say, well, why do I need weapons? Well, you know why? Because you're in a warfare. And if you're not in a warfare, better check yourself and see if you're doing what God wants you to do. I mean, anybody that's in the ministry, and you're all in the ministry, you're all winning souls, you're all being a light, you're all going about with the anointing, you have to wonder why sometimes things are happening and why sometimes it seems like arrows are flying and things, people are saying things and you're going, what is this? I thought I would just, after I got born again, I'd just be walking around in fields of roses and fields of sunflowers and birds would sing all the time and it would just be dandy. Well, guess what? You're in a warfare. Not in a physical warfare, there's a spiritual warfare. And let me tell you something, your enemy is a liar, he's an accuser, he's a thief, right? He tries to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar and he's an accuser. Remember that word, accuser. Even in a courtroom, you know, there's a plaintiff and then there's a prosecutor, and the prosecutor is trying to defame or trying to, you know, put a client under, you know, and accuse them. But you know what? God is the judge, and we have a lawyer, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Yes. You have an advocate that will show you and teach you how to win in the courtroom every time. We have the Holy Spirit. He will show you this morning, I believe he will show you what to do and how to do it this morning. We get our example, of course, from Jesus. We have this example of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. It's the story when Jesus went into the wilderness, and you know what? He fasted for 40 days. How many of you have ever fasted for 40 days? I don't think no one in here has. I tried it for one day, and I said, honey, get me a burger. Get me a burger. I'm not in a good mood. But we need to understand, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that means he didn't just get up in the middle of the night and have a snack. 40 days and 40 nights, he was, guess what? He was hungry. Yeah, no kidding. He was hungry. He was weak, and he was at a weak point. How many of you know that the devil will come at a weak point? He'll come at a weak point in your life when you're tired, when you're fighting something, fighting a sickness, when you're tired and you're weary. That's when you got to be on guard. You got to be on guard right after a victory. Right after a great victory. Always keep your guard up. Always be sober. Always be vigilant and watching, because the enemy is out there. Tempter, he came to him. And notice, I believe that the enemy did not come to Jesus with a red cloak on and a red robe and pointy ears and a pitchfork, because that would have been so obvious. The enemy is very subtle. He's very sly. Yes. And he comes in very, very subtly and very slyly. I believe he came to Jesus in some thoughts and imaginations. And as Jesus was there, he heard this, you know, in his thoughts, he thought, hey, I'm hungry, and this is the thought. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Right? That thought didn't come from God. It didn't come from Jesus, but he had that thought. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they make bread. You know what? That thought was probably good for a while. Hey, that would be good. I could make myself a good ham sandwich here. I could make myself something really good. But you know what? He couldn't think about it. He could not think about it very long. What did he do? He said, it is written. Remember that. He's quoted back out loud. He said, it is written. He combated the lie with the truth. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, it is written. If he had to do that, if Jesus had to say out loud, it is written, to combat a lie of the enemy, are we not going to do the same thing?
That's right.
If Jesus himself was under that situation, we need to understand that we come under that as well. I want to talk to you about two specific pieces of the armor that all of you have. The first one is the helmet of salvation. You know, football players, it's amazing when you go out to play football, they give you some equipment. And one of the equipments they give you is a helmet. And you go, well, why do I need a helmet? Well, because you're not in a real a soft game here. You're in a football and you need a helmet because you're going to get cracked in your head. You see some of these football games and these guys get really jarred in their head. So when they go off football, they give you a helmet. We are in a warfare, so there must be a reason why we're giving and given the helmet of salvation.
Yes.
The helmet of salvation. Now, if you're familiar with the helmet, the Roman helmets that the Roman soldiers used, they were, many of them were very ornate. They were different sizes, but a lot of them would have, on the top of them, they'd have fringes and horse's hair on the top of them. But the main thing was they would come down and they would come right to the nose. They would fit over the nose and all around. The only thing they could, they had a place where they could see with their eyes. But it covered all the way around their head. All the way around. And it was very tough. They could sustain a blunt blow by the helmet of salvation. We have a helmet of salvation. It's not a physical helmet, but it's a spiritual helmet. It says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take. Say take. And take the helmet of salvation. The word take in the Greek, it means to receive. Write that down in your notes. It means to receive. It means to receive the helmet. And the helmet in the Greek, it means to encircle the head all the way around, like a belt. Encircle the head of salvation. And the word salvation in the Greek, it literally means the defense. So we have that defense, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which we're going to look at here in a little bit. But let's look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13. He said, wherefore, gird up, say gird up,
gird
up the loins of your mind. This is why we need the helmet of salvation, because we have loins of our mind. Gird up the loins. What the word loins means, procreative power. The word loins means procreative power. Why is it so important that you have on the helmet of salvation all the time, even when you're sleeping? You need to have that helmet of salvation on. Because the enemy throws darts and imaginations and thoughts at your mind, and they become these imaginations that are lies, that inflame, and they go from one thing to the next. To gird up, it means procreative power. Let me tell you something. It's so important what we dwell on. It's important what we think on. It's important that we think on the truth, not on lies. It's so important that you recognize when a lie of the enemy is trying to enter your thought life. For example, you might have somebody that you're thinking about, and maybe they didn't talk to you in church, and they left, and you get home, and you go, that person is mad at me. I know they're mad at me. They didn't look at me. They are, oh, they're so mad. And at first, it's just a little thing. But then all week long, you say out loud, that person was mad at me. Oh, and then all of a sudden you go, why was that person mad at me? I'm offended that person was mad at me. I didn't do anything to that person. You know how it happened? You add to it. It's like adding cars to a train. First, it's just the engine. Then you just add some more cars to the train. It gets more powerful. You're chugging down the road. So the next Sunday, you see that person, and you get all upset. You were mad at me. You know what the truth was? They weren't mad at you at all. They had an ingrown toenail, and they were suffering. That's how ridiculous it gets. They were going through something. That's happened to me before. Where somebody, I was in church and somebody said, oh, Pastor Jim's really, you know, and later they find out that I had an ingrown toenail or I had something. You know, ingrown toenails can be a tool of the enemy. I can stick to you, I mean, it can really hurt. Your whole body hurts, right? So realize that the enemy, he's a liar, he's a stealer, he's a killer, and he is an accuser of the brethren. He accuses us day and night. Listen, you're king's kids. King's kids. You're special. You're loved. You're born again into the kingdom of God. He loves you. You are crowned with righteousness. God loves you. But there's an accuser day and night that comes around trying to accuse you and trying to take what God has already given to you. Trying to get you to weaken and, you know, oh, I'm not that good of a person. Look what my past. Look at my parents. Look where I live. Look where I grew up. Oh, these are all accusations of the enemy. The accuser. He's an accuser he's an accuser of the brethren. So you may be, you know, you come to Israel Promise and you're on fire and you're getting involved and you're doing things, and all of a sudden it seems like you're being accused of things here and there. Just things in your family. Things are being, and listen, that's not God. It's an accuser. Accusatory. It's not God. It's the enemy. Think about this. It's very simple. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that you're going through, anything that seems to be, you know, just nagging at you, if it fits in those three categories, stealing, killing, or destroying, then we know it's not from God. It's from the enemy. So here we go. What do? The loins of our mind, we have to put on this the helmet of salvation. And then we have to pick up the sword of the Spirit. Everybody say sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. And it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word in this verse, the word is the word rhema. Say rhema. The word rhema is an utterance or the spoken word. The word is powerful. The word is God. The word is the Logos. But to be effective and powerful, it has to be spoken.
Yes.
Spoken. The spoken word. Jesus said, it is written. See, Jesus grew up, he knew the word. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the word. He grew up in wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God. And he found out who he was. But then he spoke the word. He said, it is written.
Yes.
It is written. And he quoted it back to the enemy. You see that?
Yes.
He quoted it back to the enemy. We have to quote the word back to the enemy. Amen. People have come to me and they said, oh, I don't like the King James Version. I like the New International Version. I like the Living Version. I like that. Well, I say, it's okay as long as you can quote it back to the enemy. As long as you can quote it back, you know, I don't see any problem with it, as long as you can quote that back to the enemy. Now, for me, I could quote the King James Version easier because it's written in kind of a prose form. It's kind of written in, you know, like in a language that's easy, like musical. It's like easy for me to memorize. But if you can memorize the word in the New International Version or some other version, I like the King James Version, but it's important that you can say, no, it is written. It is written. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. I say in the name of Jesus, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. So we're walking here in the Spirit. We're in the flesh, but we're walking in the Spirit. This also needs to be taught in the Word, in the church. But the church world has failed to not teach this, and they have stayed in the natural realm, or the carnal realm, or the soulish realm. But the truth is, we're fighting an invisible spiritual battle. We win. We've already won. I've read the back of the book. We already win. But yet there is a walk that we walk, and we're going to fight this good fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith.
That's right.
Because we win every time. That's why you need to come to church, because there's others around you that can go, hey, I won that battle. You can win it too. I know what you're going through. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. I went through that, so you can go through it too. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were talking about a report that they got from a doctor. It lined up right, almost right exactly from what I came against, where I was told that I had stage 4 cancer. That the doctor said, I'm going to be seeing a lot of you now. And I thought, I don't want to see a lot of you. I'm living to see a lot of you. And then somebody, listen, a minister was at a meeting, I think in Tennessee, and he was up in a prayer line, and the Lord spoke to him and told him to call me when he got back to his room and tell me this. And he went back to me, called me, and said, the Lord told me to tell you to get a second opinion.
Amen.
The Lord told, so it came through that. The Lord spoke through him, and it bore witness with me, so we got a second opinion. And that second opinion said, you don't have it.
Amen.
You're fine. Congratulations. Amen. Shake my hand.
Amen.
You will live and not die.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. I like that report. Don't you?
Yes.
God's will is for you to live long and finish strong. No matter what you're going through this morning, look beyond that. Look to the other side. Look to the other side, because that's where your victory is. You're going to get there. You're going to go to the other side. No matter what you're going through, you will get to the other side.
Amen.
And if you're sick, that other side is health and healing.
Amen.
That's the other side. So let's see what Paul said. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to start at verse 3. I usually start at verse 4, but let's look at verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we is the what we need to realize, we is the real you on the inside. You're walking in this flesh. We're walking in this flesh. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in this earthly body. We live in this flesh. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're not in a physical war. We're not in a physical battle. For the weapons, see, it's plural. We have weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not, it's not a carnal knife or a sword. It's not a carnal gun or a, it's not, but mighty through God. It all comes through God. What does it do? It's interesting, pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imagination. What word did I emphasize these two in? Pulling down. Say down. Casting down imaginations. What did Lucifer do in heaven when he was praise and worship leader that got him thrown out of heaven? He was cast down, but what did he do? He lifted himself up. He exalted himself up above God. He said, I am God. I am beautiful. I am lovely. And he exalted himself up. Guess what? God cast him down. The enemy will always rise up. Thoughts. Those thoughts will always rise up, but we have to cast them down. We have to cast those thoughts down. We have to cast those imaginations and those thoughts down. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is His Word. That's the knowledge of God. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be voracious readers of the Word, meditating the Word. The enemy does not want you to spend time in the Word. I'm telling you, when you make a commitment, I'm going to spend 10 minutes in the Word, you'll get distracted. There'll be a knock at the door, the dog will bark, there'll be a ring. My phone doesn't ring at all, and then until I get in the Word, and my phone rings. Things happen, right? You need to not be distracted, but get in the Word, because Jesus is the living Word. Remember this, when the children of Israel went up into the mountain to see the promised land, remember, the spies? They went down, and they were instructed to look and see the giants, and see where they lived, whether they were in strongholds or tents. Remember that. Those were the word of tents. Or strongholds. A tent is easy to tear down. If you've ever been camping, you can tear down a tent pretty good. But you cannot tear down a stronghold in one day. Strongholds are castles or big structures that are built brick by brick. Brick by brick by brick. Imaginations are, like I was saying, maybe an offense. Somebody comes in and they get offended and all of a sudden, you know, they need to cast down that offense that they're thinking about. Just cast down that offense. Pull it down. Lord, I bless, forgive, and release them. I release them. I cast down. I forgive them. And I bless. You can cast down an imagination, and that's how you do it, right away. But a stronghold, it may be something that has been in your past for a long time, brick by brick. There's been people that have been putting bricks by brick in your life. You're no good. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was an uncle. Something that happened brick by brick by brick. And when you get born again, that stronghold is still there. You have to break that stronghold. You've got to tear that stronghold down by the Word of God. Jeremiah says the Word is a hammer. Yes. Praise God. Yes. The Word is a hammer. There are people, there are Christians that get born again and they were sexually abused or they were physically abused when they were children. Yes. Right? And they're born again, but there's still a stronghold there that they refer back to and it begins to govern their life. But God wants you to make everything is new. Right? And now you have knowledge of the Word of God. So you go back to that stronghold and you pound it every day with the hammer of the Word. You know, if you hit a rock or a boulder every day once with a hammer, one day that rock will split. Just because of the vibrations. The vibrations. Hitting that rock hitting that rock with the hammer of God's word. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. God, the life of God is in me. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I've been redeemed from the curse. I've been redeemed from the curse. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm the head and not the tail, from above and not beneath. Hallelujah. I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named. Greater is he that's living in me. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm a new creature. I will live long and finish strong. Praise God. And you keep hitting that rock with the hammer of God's word. And if you're faithful to do it, you'll see that stronghold torn apart. Strongholds torn apart. You know, it's interesting, if you go back in church history, the people that God used the most were people that had a very difficult past. They had a struggle to overcome. Kenneth Hagin had a very physical ailment to overcome. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland had poverty to deal with. They were in poverty. You know, probably don't know that, but that's where they were. They didn't have two coins to rub together. They were in poverty. And their whole generation was just poverty. They were poor, poor, poor. That's why they've compensated, you know, and that's what they teach all the time, because they found the victory there. Amen? Amen. And so there's people that have gone through things. Mainly I talk about healing, because that's where I got that victory. It's healing. Praise God for healing.
Amen.
I feel good this morning. Do you feel good?
I feel good.
You can feel good just by hearing the word of God. He sent his word and healed them. You could be here this morning under the anointing. That's why I encourage people to get to church, especially if you're having a hard time. Get there, because there's something there for you.
Amen.
You'll leave different. You'll leave changed. Amen. In Jesus' name. You don't have to leave the same as you came in Jesus' name, but be a receptor. Be a sponge. Say, God, I want all that you have for me. Whatever's going on, I want it. I'm going to press through the crowd. I'm going to press through the throngs. I'm going to press through. I'm not going to leave here the same. In Jesus' name, I'm going to get what I came here for. I'm not just going to be a church pew sitter. I'm going to be a kingdom of God grabber. I'm going to be a kingdom of God grabber. I'm going to be a healing antenna. I'm going to get all that God wants me to have. Hallelujah. And grabs the hem of his garment and gets your blessing, gets your healing, gets your deliverance, gets your prosperity, gets your answer. Whatever it is that you came for, you can leave here with it.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to just go along with the crowd. Don't go along with those that are just there just to be there. No, be there. Come to church expecting. When you get, you're in your car, come to church and say, I'm going to get it. I'm going to receive. I'm going to get what I came for. When I get there today, I'm going to get healed. When I get there today, the Lord's going to speak to me. When I get there today, the Lord's going to give me an answer to my question. When I get there today, say that out loud. Oh, I feel the anointing right now. We need to get prepared before we sit down. We need to be worshiping before we come in the doors. We need to be speaking the word of God before we sit down in our chairs. We need to be ready and ready, because the Spirit of God is flowing right now. And you need to reach out and grab it. Grab what God has given you. As he's flowing over you, grab it. Grab it. I had a lady at church one day, or one Sunday morning, and she would, when it came over her, she'd say, I got it. Just out loud. And I knew she got it. Because she got it. She said, I got it. So the thief, John 10:10 says, John 10:10-11 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, interesting, I am come, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But look at verse 11. I am the, what?
Good.
Say good.
Good.
Good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I mean, that's a revelation to some people when you say God is good.
Yes.
God is good. Or Roberts coined that phrase, God is a good God. God is good. And people began putting that on bumper stickers, and it was just, people were just, oh, how can you say that? God is good? Yes, God is good. The devil is bad, God is good.
Amen.
Very simple theology there. God is good. He's good all the time. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But there is an accuser. This might help somebody here this morning. You may have been accused in the past. You may be being accused right now in your life of somebody. You know, the enemy uses people a lot of times. The enemy will use somebody to say something, and you go, wow, where did that come from? What is that all about? Well, sometimes the enemy will use someone or a situation in this area. In Revelation 12:10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, soteria, and strength, and the kingdom, basilia, of our God, and the power, dunamis, that word power there is dunamis, of Christ, for the, what?
Accuser,
there it is right there, accuser of our brethren is cast down.
Amen.
See, that's going to happen one day. But right now, he's walking around. He's doing his best to deceive and to get even the believers, even the very elect, to turn on their faith and to turn against each other. Right?
Yes.
He says, which accused them before God, before our God, day and night. Look at that. Day and night. He's an accuser. But you know, the good news is, he's under your feet. He's under your feet. He's under the feet of Jesus. He's under your feet.
Yes.
The little toe, the left foot of the body of Christ is still on top of the devil. That's the truth. He's under your feet. He's already been defeated. You just have to reinforce that. You just have to keep on saying that. The devil's under my feet. I'm healed. I will live long and finish strong. God is my source. All my needs are met. My bills are paid. I have more than enough. God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I say that out loud. I confess that. And when you say that, you're speaking the word, just like Jesus had to speak to the enemy. It is written, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But see, as you grow spiritually, if you come to heirs of promise, you are growing.
Amen.
You are growing spiritually. You may not look like it to some people, but you are growing spiritually because you're hearing the word. You're hearing the word. And it says in Hebrews 5:13 and 14, this is what's happening to you. You're growing from a baby to a child to a youth to an adult. Those are four stages. So everyone in here is either in one of those stages of spiritual growth. Either baby, child, youth, or adult. Because here's what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 5:13 and 14, everyone that uses milk, that's the milk of the word, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a what?
A baby.
Babies, it's great. Babies need to be born, but babies need to grow up. Right? Babies grow up. How do they grow up? By being fed the right things, milk. You don't feed a baby sirloin steak, because they'll choke. You don't feed a baby real strong doctrine, feed them milk, because a baby, but, verse 14, strong meat, spiritual meat, belongs to them that are full age, that are older spiritually, even those who by reason of using the word of righteousness, like I'm teaching this morning, speaking the word, getting victory, when an accuser comes, speaking the word, you are becoming more skillful. By reason of use, have their senses, that word senses is organs of perception in Greek, exercise. To exercise means to do it over and over again. Becoming skillful, do it over and over again. Not just once, one time and say, oh, that didn't work. Pastor, I did that for a week and it didn't work. No, it's a lifestyle. Amen. Skillful over and over again, over and over. Just keep on saying, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus every morning. Keep on saying, my God shall supply all my need. The waves come that beat against your boat. You keep on saying it. You're still there. My God shall supply all of my need. You keep on saying it. You're becoming skillful at the word. I love watching Major League Baseball. I love watching these players. That they're in the place they are today because they became skillful. How did they become skillful? They do the same thing every day. Spend hours and hours before the game picking up ground balls, taking batting practice. They become so skillful at it, so when they're in a game, they do things that are so almost extraordinary. They pick up balls that are extraordinary what they do. Why? Because they became skillful at it. They did it over and over and over again. That's how you become skillful. You do it over and over and over again. And so we become skillful at exercising and doing it over and over again. You'll become more skillful, and you'll become skillful at discerning what is good and what is evil. You'll begin to discern, hey, that accusation didn't come from God. That's a spiritual thing, and I know what to do. Amen? I know what to do because I'm becoming more discerning, more spiritually discerning of what's going on. That's not God. That's not my friend. My friend wouldn't do that. That's the enemy's trying to be accusatory to me through the situation. And so what do? You got to speak to that in the name of Jesus. I pull that down. I cast it down. I walk in love. I stir up grace. I stir up mercy. I bless, forgive, and release them in Jesus' name. And out loud you do that because the sword of the Spirit is not a silent weapon.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit is speaking the word. I wanted to use this so bad because I saw this quote. The word of God is voice activated. The word of God is voice activated. When you speak the word, it's activated. Somebody offends you, it can either be a forest fire or you can put it out with the word of God. Because the word of God is, among other things, it's water. Being washed in the water of the word. When somebody or an accusatory comes at you or somebody says something, immediately you know what to do because you're skillful. You're skillful at what's going on. Oh, this is interesting. I know what this is. And so right away, whenever you can, get to your prayer closet or in your car, drive and say, I forgive them. I bless them. I cast down that thought. I cast down that accusation in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I pull it down in Jesus' name because I'm a new creature. I walk in love. The Spirit of God is in me. I have the life of God in me. I'm a new creature. And you begin to say this out loud. You're using the sword of the Spirit. Amen? And you'll get victory that way. That's how we walk in victory. We're in a spiritual warfare, but you can get victory. You can gain victory. But many Christians are not hearing this. They're not hearing a teaching where they know what to do. And they're sitting in a pew listening to milk every Sunday. And they remain babies. They remain babies. But you need to hear the word. Hear the word and feast on the word, chew on the word. What is meat? It has to be chewed on and digested. You know, I've said this analogy before, but you've seen cows in the Midwest. There's probably cows down here too, but in the Midwest, we have Iowans here. We know what Iowa cows are. They chew on their cud, right? They chew. They eat, they chew. They chew, and they eat the hay, but they spit out the sticks. Right? They eat the hay, but they spit out the sticks. And they have different stomachs, don't they? Is that right, Julie? They have different stomachs, four stomachs. And so they be you know, walking along the pasture, and they look normal. All of a sudden, they're chewing. Why? Because in one of their stomachs, it came back up, and they just, it's better the second time. Right before we eat today, it comes back up and they chew it. Hey, that's pretty good. Come on now, some of you have done this. I know. Some of you have done this. I'm not calling you cows in here, but I know some of you. You've had it. I'm not going to go into it. But anyway, cows. You can talk to fellow Iowans in here, people who know about cows. It happens. So that's why they call chewing their cud. So let's look at what the word says about what to think on. What's the litmus test? If you are a biologist, or you know, they have this thing called a litmus test, or they know whether a liquid is acid or saline, and they have a strip they'll put in there, and it'll turn. Somebody help me. If it's acidic, what'll it turn?
Green.
I got red, green, blue. Okay, come on, Rick. Help me.
Green or blue?
Green or blue? Thank you.
Alkaline. And red or brown?
Acidic.
Yes. That's it.
Okay. There we go. See now? So here's the litmus test in your thought life. Paul said, finally, brethren. Say brethren.
Brethren.
He's talking about believers. whatever things, and let's say this out loud, true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of
good report.
Say it again.
Good report.
If there be any
virtue,
if there be any
praise,
what do you do?
Think
on these things. And the word think in the Greek means to take an inventory of. Remember that. Take an inventory of what you're thinking on. What are you dwelling on? What is that? How is that affecting you, that accusatory thought of that person that's not even doing that? It's just a lie. What is that doing to you? You need to take that off the shelf because it's moldy. Take it off the shelf because it's past its expiration date. Take it off the shelf and put praise on there.
Yes.
Put a good report on there. Put virtue on there. Put lovely on there.
Yes.
And you know who fits all these qualities?
Jesus.
So in all this, these are not aimless things. If you just think about Jesus and delight yourself in Him because you have spiritual eyes and He's here, the Holy Spirit is here, begin to think on Him, dwell on Him, and that's it. You're in life abundantly right there. And that is a good shelf life. He has an eternal shelf life. He has an eternal shelf life as we think on Him. Praise God. So there's Christians that are, they're just being tormented day and night of things that are in their thought life, and they've never been taught what's going on. We need to understand what's going on and how to combat in this spiritual warfare by using the Word of God.
Yes.
And how to say, it is written out loud. The Word is voice activated. Say it out loud.
Yes.
What is that thing? Is it Siri or those things people have in their houses where you say, Siri, you know, what's the 17th letter of the alphabet or something like that? And you know, they tell you. Or, you know, how do I get $1 million? Siri, But now, who do we have right by our side that will help us in these things? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but we have the Holy Spirit right here by our side. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter, and it says in John 14:26, and I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. So way in the back you can hear it. Ramon, you'll hear this. Amplified Bible. John 14:26, and I'm going to close with this. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, He will teach you all things. And He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Woo! Praise God. So this is what's happened. The Holy Spirit, the Lord told me to preach this or teach this. So the Holy Spirit has brought this to you, and now He's right with you to remind you this week. If something happens, He'll remind you about this and what to do. That's what the Word does. You'll be reminded, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the Word.
Amen.
That's why the Holy Spirit is so important, that we recognize His presence. He's right here, and He is right here. So in conclusion, in our courtroom, our lawyer fights on our behalf. And if there was a commercial I could put with this, it's Jesus and Jesus for the world.
Amen.
Jesus and Jesus for the world. That's who we have. Some of you will get that later today. Jesus and Jesus. That's who we have as our lawyer, and He will bring back to your remembrance things that you need in your time where something's coming at you, when an arrow's coming at you. You know what to do. Speak the Word. It's voice activated. Amen?
Amen.
Activated. When you get a pain in the middle of the night, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
The healing virtue of Jesus is flowing through my body. I mean, we got to speak the Word because the Word is voice activated. Praise God. Well, let's all stand up. That's all.